It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study God's Word. We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 8, and we're going to begin with the 20th verse, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, and we'll be reading down through the 8th verse of the next chapter. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and to find the scripture that we're going to read today, and that again is Genesis chapter 8. We're going to begin reading with verse 20. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from us, from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, of the dread of you, shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying. And then we begin. It is wonderful as we look through the wonderful scripture. Let's begin with prayer before we start. Father, we thank you that we can come and enjoy this time together. I just ask that you will receive the honor and glory because of it. And I ask, Father, that you will guide me as we have the study and guide every listener, that they will hear your truth and will know it. And Father, will come to know you as their Savior. They will invite you into their heart and ask your Son, Jesus Christ, to be their Savior. I ask that that be done today, please, that it come knowing and recognizing that they're sinners and they're lost. And then a wonderful walk begins, a wonderful new life begins when we have come to know you as our Savior. And that walk is a walk of peace and of joy and of power and of strength. And the way we have this wonderful walk is if we know you and abide by you. That's why, Father, we come to study your word, to know your will. Now guide and lead us, Lord, as we have come together today. Let every ear hear, every eye see, and know your way and will for their lives, whatever it is today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful as we come together and study God's word. And I'm glad that you've joined us. And again, we're going back to the 20th verse. Begin there. Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Noah built an altar. He was about to show his his being thankful for what God had given him, and that is mercy. He had shown him mercy. He had taken him right from the judgment of all the world and delivered him through that judgment to the other side of that judgment. And that's the place we find ourselves right now. And, you know, if we back up to the 18th verse, we will see that Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. We have the deliverance off of the ark back onto the earth. And we see that the very first thing that Noah looks to do, and that is to build an altar. You know, we should do the same ourselves. You know, often we are busy and we think we need to take care of many things of this life and of this world. And one thing that you would have thought that Noah would have been concerned of, you know, where's my house? What happened to my farm? What happened to everything that I possessed? It's all gone. Instead of that, he just came before the Lord and probably in a bowed condition with his face to the ground and says, "Oh, Lord God, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for delivering us, Lord, and I praise you for it." And he did that by building this altar and then built this altar and offered of the odd number, remember, 7? And so the first thing that he did, he came of the clean beast and of the clean fowl, and he offered them upon the altar, saying, "Thank you, Lord." A couple things. Number one, look what he looked to do first. He built an altar unto the Lord. Before he built a house, before he did anything, he built this altar. And we need to always, in our lives, we should be ready and willing to praise God. We should not need to be told to praise God. Noah, as we looked back through these last several verses and even chapters, why we see that he was commanded how to build the ark. He was commanded who to put in the ark. He was commanded to go into the ark. He was commanded when to come out of the ark. All these things he was told. But we are not told here that God says, "Now I want you to bow down before me and worship me. I want you to build an altar." He did not, there's no record of God telling Noah those words. Noah knew the first thing to do is to worship his God. And he has many examples back through as we see the offering of the coats that Adam and Eve received. We find that with Cain and Abel, how that Abel brought a sacrifice, and it was with the blood, as we have talked about in times past. Here we have a certain kind of animals, clean beasts. This is way before the law was received, and yet Noah listened, and Noah knew what God desired. Oh, that we would learn the same. Not what would seem to be. There are many unclean animals that are strong and of might. But Noah knew that he needed to follow after God's word. Now, he took of the clean animals because he knew that that's what would please his God. "Here is an offering of praise unto you, Lord. And I want to show that to you immediately. I want to give thanks unto you. I want to give you the first, and I want to give you the best." And it's always important, as we have talked in times past, that we must always do it God's way. Today, man is very guilty of taking God's word and altering it to meet today, to meet with today's kind of life. We cannot do that. We must look to the Word of God. We must listen so carefully of what it has to tell us and then live accordingly. And here, Noah, he knew that it was to be the clean beasts. And he didn't look and think, "Okay, I will wait till the first birth, the first crop comes in, the first offspring of these clean animals. And I will offer that," because you see, I only got 7. And what happens if, you know, 2 or 3 die immediately? Well, then here I am. No, he didn't worry about that. It was God-given, and so he returned it back unto the Lord, and he did it God's way. And don't ever miss that. And today, again, is we're very guilty about doing it our way. Again, we should be ready and willing to praise God. We should not need to be told. You know, how many times are do we say, now, you're going to come to church tonight? Well, if I'm not too tired, I'll be there. If the weather isn't too bad, I'll be there. If I get back from going to town someplace, you know, going someplace else, and if we get back in time, then I'll be there. Noah, the very first thing that he did was build an altar and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered a burnt offering on the altar, representing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He desired to worship his God and to praise his God, and we should be the same. We shouldn't have somebody having to ask us, you know, you going to come back tonight? I hope you can come back tonight. Why do we have to ask that? If you're a child of God, you're born again, you're made new, why does anybody have to beg you to come into the house of God? If they do, there's something wrong, seriously wrong with your heart. And so please, you look into your heart when you decide that you're not going to come into the house of God. You've made a decision that you're not going to do that. It's wonderful here. Noah wasn't told. He knew that was the thing that his heart that he wanted to do to praise and honor his God. And he did it. He gave of his time and his money. He did it by free will. And we need to do the same. We are to honor and worship and praise our God for all that he has given us, all that he has done for us. God should always be first. We should always give God our first and our best. And again, Noah didn't look to the normal things that you would need, a house, some place for the animals to get out of the weather, whatever it may be. He didn't concern himself with that. He worshiped and showed his God, our God, the only God. He showed him honor and praise. Isn't it wonderful that he was immediate in serving God and praising God? You know, Noah made a choice. I'd like to take you back to Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. And we'll look at the take the scripture, and you know that I almost always have two Bibles. And you know that I always use King James, and I hope that I have gotten you away from anything else that you may have been using and get back to the King James, and I even go back to the old King James. I think it's the best tool that you can have to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope that you have that in your hand today. I have one before me that I'm teaching from, and then I have another one that's in my hand. It is the one that I preach from, and I use it to go back to these cross-references. And so we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 6, and we're going to read the 16th verse. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this verse of Scripture. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? Ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's a verse of Scripture today that needs to be held up in so many churches today, because they are walking in their way, in a new way, and it is not God's way, and they have said, we will not walk therein. Look what it says, for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein? Please, ye stand ye in the ways and see. Please, the way of the Lord, the way of God. I want you to look there. I don't want you to make this same decision they made, because they said, we will not walk therein. I hope that you haven't made that decision and that choice today. Noah made a decision to walk in the ways of the Lord. He made a choice. And that choice gave him salvation from the judgment. And that salvation brought him through this time of this over a year in the ark, and delivered him out of the ark back onto the earth. And the first thing he offered up these sacrifices unto the Lord. And the Lord received them, and received them openly. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more anything living as I have done. This sweet savor in the Hebrew is a savor of rest. You know, after 6 days of the creation, he rested. The day of judgment is over, and now he rests with everything made new once again. The earth has been refreshed, brought to life again, and we sadly know that it's not going to be long that we will have the same result. Not the flood, but the same sinful condition upon the earth. But with what Noah offers, we find that God receives that as smelled a sweet savor, and again, a savor of rest. Noah, by faith, was looking forward to the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. I want to look at Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians 5:2. Come from Jeremiah, where we were at just a little bit ago, and let's look to Ephesians 5:2. We need to learn from Noah, from his walk by faith, and we need to carefully follow after that same direction, knowing that the first thing we need to do is offer him praise and offer sacrifices to him with our time and our money as well. Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians 5:2. It would help if I was in Ephesians. There we go. Ephesians 5:2. That should have given you plenty of time to get there. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look at what this presented and represented with Noah as he offered this sacrifice. And again, I want to read Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look how much Jesus Christ loves us, what he has done for us. Don't you want to offer sacrifice unto him, sacrificing your life? And I mean in not going with all the things of the world and all the ways of the world, but you set your life in service to the Lord. And again, many people feel that that's a sacrifice to not enjoy all the pleasures of today and have to serve God. Well, if that's the way you feel, again, you better check your heart, because we need to enjoy, and it should be an exciting time in our heart and in our life to praise and honor God for what he has done for us. Noah, as he looked through this time, built the altar, offered the sacrifices, and we realize and see now that God received that. And then God begins to make a statement, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. He looked back and recognized the judgment that was there, and he is making a promise now that he will never do that again. He realizes that man is sinful from conception on, from the time that a baby is conceived. They are conceived with this sin in them, and it never ends, it never stops. And so man will naturally, normally, become more and more wicked. And God says, I understand that, I know that, and I will make you a promise that even though the wickedness will come upon this earth, I will not smite anymore everything living as I have done. What a promise has come here. You reckon Noah was wondering if this flood would be repeated? Noah knew man's heart, and he knew that it wouldn't be long, that things would be returned back to the way they were prior to the flood. And so, do I come and build a house, and what do I do? Is it going to be very short and very soon that all of a sudden this is going to be repeated and the whole earth is going to be destroyed again, or all that are upon the earth and everything that we know it as far as the homes and the businesses and the roads and everything that was made in that first part? Is that all going to be gone? He said, I know that sin is bred into them. It's the way they are. It's the way we are. So will you destroy it again? And I'm sure it was a question he had. And God said no. He would not destroy it anymore. This curse. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Now that doesn't mean that the curse is not still present as it was when sin entered in the first place. There was a curse put upon not only man, but upon every living thing and upon the earth. You know, we have a lot of flowers and a rose that is such a beautiful color. And there are times through the seasons that everything is just so beautiful. But it's nothing compared to what God wanted us to have and wanted us to see. And the reason for that is the curse. Every color has been laid flat. It's not as sharp as what it will be as we spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father in heaven will enjoy such beauty that we've never seen before because the curse has taken that beauty away. But he says here that he will not curse the ground anymore. It means I will not put a double curse upon the ground. There was one curse that was placed when Adam and Eve sinned. There's been another curse put upon this earth, and that's the flood. I will not do that again. That's what he's telling us there. Never will God destroy the whole world till the end of time. We know that the imagination of man's heart is evil. We have some verses of Scripture here concerning the destruction involving what we've just read, and I'd like to go back to Isaiah 48:8. Isaiah 48:8. Isaiah 48:8. Yea, though thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously and wast called a transgressor from the womb. Let me read that again. It's kind of hard to, we're looking at the destruction of the world. We're thinking of man's heart. Again, let me just, I can begin with the fifth verse, and maybe that'll help us just a little bit. Isaiah 48:5. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldst say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it. I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldst say, Behold, I knew them. Now verse 8, Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from the time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. God knows the heart of man. He knows the wickedness of man. And he records it many times through his precious word. Would you please go to Psalm 78 with me? Psalm 78, verse 38 and 39. Psalm 78, verse 38 and 39. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. God remembers that man was evil. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. I know you're wicked. I know that's who you are naturally. And so he promises that he will not any more destroy in the manner he has destroyed the earth, and that is by water. There is a judgment coming, and that judgment will be by fire. But that will not come until the time, end of time. It says in verse 22, While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Well, when that ceases, when time is over, there will be another judgment. So don't be in your mind or in thought that there is not going to be a final judgment, because God says here that I will not smite any more anything living as I have done. He will not do it by a flood, and he will not do it as long as time exists. But when time is over, in other words, he will not come in and destroy the earth and use some means, as he did here with Noah, to begin and replenish the earth again, as the first verse of chapter 9 says, And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That statement's not going to come again, because that statement after this judgment that was put here, now we're going to enjoy the millennial reign. There will be a replenishing upon the earth at that time, a repopulation of the earth, but it is not after a total judgment like we have here with the water. That time of the Battle of Armageddon, and all that are lost will die, but those that are saved will walk right into the millennial reign of Christ. The flood didn't change the heart of man. They didn't say, Oh, the true God has destroyed this. We will live for him. Didn't change him a bit. They turned right back into their old ways almost immediately. We see the patience of God with man, and we see his mercy. And we have that here in verse 21. And then we find that the times of the seasons will forever continue. And they will always be the same. And yet if you think about it, it'll always be changing. Because we go from seed time to harvest, from cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. So it's continually changing. And yet we know that next year it's going to be just like it. It'll repeat it. And it's going to do that every year until time is ended. Never again will there be a time of judgment equal to the flood, and then God will begin once again, as he has shown us here. That judgment that comes upon this earth next time will be a judgment of fire that will come at the end of time. It's wonderful to study God's Word, to look into the Word of God. We have finished the 8th chapter. We're going to begin with 9th chapter next time. Please, that you see the importance of Noah as he, first of all, builded an altar unto the Lord and praised him. worshiped him. I hope your heart is in the same direction. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?